Right. Good morning, everyone, for morning prayer on the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and also,
with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice
and be glad in it.
God, you are the mighty sower, the good gardener, life-giving, constant in creation. Christ, you are the face of the Father, casting wisdom across the ages, your arm outstretched to sow. Holy Spirit, you are the wind that carries the seed and causes the fruit to flourish. Trinity of creation and salvation, we worship and adore you. Amen.
Amen.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. The first reading is from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, and then even through your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit lives in you because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And the Psalm 65. Be joyful in God,
all the earth.
The river of God is full of water. You prepare grain for your people, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. You soften the ground with showers and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the pastures of the wilderness flow with goodness and the hills be girded with joy. May the meadows be clothed with the flocks of sheep and the valleys stand so thick with corn that they shall laugh and sing. Be joyful.
Be joyful in God.
All the earth. May the richness of your creation, Lord, and the mystery of your providence lead us to that heavenly city, where all peoples will bring their wealth, forsake their sins, and find their true joy, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was
in the beginning,
is now,
and shall be forever.
Amen.
Amen. The second reading is Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds were gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears this word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. The talk I've got today has been written by Liz Langdon, who's with us for 6 weeks. She's training to be a lay reader. So she's put her name in here in the text. This talk this morning from Romans chapter 8. However, to set ourselves some context, we need to listen to what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 7. Paul recognizes that we and the world we live in has sin in it, and he describes how it has affected him. This morning, I will read those verses from Romans 7 in the Message translation of the Bible, as if I'm saying them. My name is Liz. My name has been put into the passage of Scripture. Liz needs something more. She knows the law, but still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within her keeps on sabotaging her best intentions, then she obviously needs help. Liz realizes that she doesn't have what it takes. She can will it, but she can't do it. Liz decides to do good, but she doesn't really do it. Liz decides not to do bad, but then she does it anyway. Liz's decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within Liz and gets the better of her every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment Liz decides to do good, sin is there to trip her up. She truly delights in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that all of her joins in that delight. Liz has tried everything and nothing helps. She's at her wit's end. Is there no one who can do anything for Liz? The answer comes in verse 25. Thank God, yes. Jesus can do something for Liz and already has. So chapter 8 in Romans opens with a victory because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and how sin no more has power over us if we follow Jesus and have his life-giving spirit in our hearts. There was no earthly solution. God came down from heaven to earth, and with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma of sin and judgment is resolved. We are set right with God by Jesus' death and resurrection and his Holy Spirit in us. Chapter 8 of Paul's letter to the Romans begins with the word therefore. It's almost as if Paul is writing into a new mindset. Huge relief. We saw how many personal pronouns were used in chapter 7. It was all me, 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 me. And in chapter 8, he can relax and encourage the Christians in Rome because of what God's Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us, because of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul is encouraging the Christians in Rome by this letter. He hasn't met them, but unites with them by a life lived in Christ. Alongside Paul and alongside the believers in Rome, we all belong to the body of Christ and live our Christian lives with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. How is the Holy Spirit in us? Do you remember that Jesus told the disciples in the upper room that he would be going away, but that would be to their advantage, that he was going away because he would send a helper? This is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What does that really mean? It means we are no longer under the big black cloud of sin and its power. In fact, our life-giving power comes from God. We are like a car and a tram. Cars and trams go on journeys. The car needs fuel, needs filling up. We need to ask for the filling of his spirit in us every day. We are also like a tram, where the power is a connection all the time to the overhead line. Our journeys and experiences are all different. Some are easy, some feel hard, and we need to look up and keep that overhead connection. God reassures us of his love for us. Jesus died for us and rose again, and that life-giving love was the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, in verse 11, God delivers us from a dead life with the same power that he raised Jesus from the dead. The Message translation puts it this way: when God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. God wants us to call him his Father. Jesus taught the disciple the Lord's Prayer, beginning with "Our Father." In the Lord's Prayer, God's kingdom is mentioned at the beginning. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As an expectancy of when the earth will one day be made new. God's kingdom is mentioned at the end of the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory for ever and ever. So we live in the now and not yet. With the Holy Spirit in us, and by asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up, we are helping God to bring in his kingdom day by day on earth as it is in heaven. We can only do this with the knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross, by rising again, defeating sin, and giving us his spirit. What a chapter Romans 8 is. Amen. And Liz will lead us in prayer.
Eternal God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever constant in changes and challenges of our lives, we bring our prayers for the world in which we live, the land on which we walk, the fields in which we sow, the people who walk on the world around us, near and far. God, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For the world, we pray that humanity will learn to treat it with care and respect, so that it may nourish and flourish, not just present generations, but future ones too. May we pray our part in living, may we play our part in living sustainably, so that others may live too. May we treasure creation and not abuse and destroy. May we live for the future, not just for the present. God, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For just and integrity, respect and care for all peoples, we pray. For those who are sexually exploited, for those who are ensnared in modern slavery, for those who are trafficked, unjustly and wrongly imprisoned. O God, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For families who live on the breadline, for those confronting drugs, drink, guns, knives, and gang cultures, for those who struggle to manage life's challenges, may they encounter people who will care for them, who will support and encourage, guide and provide for their needs, so that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is hope that goodness and stability can grow and flourish. God, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For the war-torn countries, nations, peoples of the world, who live among bombs and landmines and sniper fire and so much more. For those whose lives are senselessly pulled apart, fractured and fragmented. For those whose homes are wiped out, whose homelands are no more, whose journeys seem bleak, whose families are shattered. O God, we praise you and bring these to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For our health services, home carers, social workers, those who seek to care and heal despite all the pressures that society places on them, that they may be supported themselves, financially and professionally, so that as they seek to heal others' wounds and support their needs, they are not themselves being wounded and harmed, or finding themselves worn to a frazzle. As they seek to grow, may others grow themselves. O Lord, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For those who are blind to the world's needs, may their eyes be opened. Those who are deaf to the cries of humanity, may they have their ears unstopped. For those who live in splendid isolation from the realities of life, may they be enabled to see and hear what's needed. O God, we praise you and bring this to you, because we believe you answer our prayers. For our families and those near to us who have barren lives or lives filled with trauma, pain and anguish, we pray for those known to us who are unwell.
Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Tony, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Joy, Peter, Rosemary, Eunice, Cheryl, Shirley, Emily, Steve, Henrietta, Frank, Mandy, Will, and Muriel.
And for the families and friends of those who've recently died, may we sow seeds of love and care that we may flourish and be supported in, they may flourish and be supported in their living. May we help weed out the thistles and thorns in their lives to make their journey easier and safer. O God, we praise you and bring this to you because we believe you answer our prayers. For these and all those in need, we offer our prayers. Amen.
And the collect for today. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with us in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our
Father in heaven,
hallowed
be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Now and forever.
Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to unmute you all now, but I'm not.
We can unmute ourselves.
Yeah, unmute yourself, please.
Yeah. I don't think you can unmute.
All right. The update has gone out, but wonderful news from Steve Hurst. He has had his operation and is on the road to recovery. But we'd like you to continue to pray for Steve and Henrietta, please. The blessings course continues this Thursday at the rectory at 7 o'clock, and the X Valley lunch seems to be very popular at Lockspear last week, and the next one is at Templeton Village Hall on the 17th of August. So if you'd like to join us for that, please let the church office know. That's lovely. And enjoy the rest of your day. The sun's trying to come out here. I don't know what it's doing over there.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Have a great week. Bye. See you next week. Bye.